Adelaine, it's tech time, isn't it?
It is. Jeremy Wagstaff is on the line from Singapore. Jeremy, are you there?
I am.
Terrific to catch up with you. Technology commentator, keeping a blog at loosewireblog.com, joins us at this time every week to talk about tech stuff. Keep us updated. What's happening?
What is indeed happening? Yeah, well, there are a few things. Perhaps the most interesting one for your readers is something called SideWiki. This is another Google
SideWiki.
This is the one where some people are thinking could be a plot to colonize our content.
That's right, yeah. Well, you know, Google is always being credited for not doing evil. That's their kind of mantra. And, of course, now they're so big that it's inevitable that people will read into what they do some sinister motive. But I think that those who are suggesting that this particular move does have a sinister side may have a point this time.
How does it work, SideWiki?
Well, the idea, and this is not a new idea, it's been around for at least 10 years. There was a Singaporean company that started doing this called Third Voice back in 1999. The idea is really, if you visit a website, nowadays you expect to be able to comment on the blog or whatever you're reading. There's usually a space at the bottom for comments. Back in 1999, there wasn't. And this guy came along with a service which enabled you to basically kind of put little sticky notes onto websites, saying what you thought of the website, contributing your comment. The website owner had no control over that. Basically, anybody who signed up for the service, and I think downloaded a small application, could put these little sticky notes on a website, and other people who were using the same software and the same service could read those, and the owner of that website couldn't control it at all.
Which could be very dangerous. It could be litigious too, couldn't it?
It could be. The general feeling was outrage. It could be best summed up as outrage. And the software didn't last very long. But people remember it, and a lot of people have tried since to come up with this idea of annotating the web, as they call it. In other words, for you and I, just to be able to add comments to a website or to a web page so that other people can see it. The idea is to sort of provide a guide for what is going on, a commentary that is independent of the website itself.
Isn't this part of a bigger push, though?
Yes, I was just about to say, in our studios as well, we have Maurice Misolowski, who is a business futurist. What do you
think? Hi, everyone. I mean, I get the sinister side of it, I certainly do, but the difference I find now is that part of this new social networking thing that we're all a part of with TripAdvisor, and we're so used to leaving comments on other people's sites and information, that I think it's kind of inevitable. It's one of those stories. I think SideWiki for Google is really a first step into something that we'll see later on, which will become mainstream. I think when we see Google Wave, we're going to see more of this embedded. But what it does for me, and what I'm talking to my clients about, is the whole notion that we no longer control the websites, we no longer control the space. Before, we used to make what I called closed boxes. It was a promotional piece, and we could say what we wanted that content to be, and it was fixed. But nowadays, the voice belongs to the broader community. And yeah, I think there are some issues with SideWiki, and Google says there are some ways around it. You can actually own your website so that every comment you make becomes the first comment that's seen by people. So if you go into combat over something somebody said, it's always at the top. So they're kind of making some notions around it. But overall, I think it's a move towards the future.
That would be a very interesting thing, although I'm just thinking as well, that could be quite confusing to read when you've got, you know, it's not the one line or one source of information. You've got different opinions about something flying from all over the place.
Yeah. But at this stage, you can turn it off. It doesn't have to be there.
That'll be a handy.
Speaking of Google not doing evil things and that, I'm just wondering, you know, in the news this week has also been in Germany, the German book traders is criticising European regulators for failing to take a stand against an agreement allowing the US company Google to create its online library. Of course, they're coming into, I think it's the Frankfurt Book Fair time, so that's, you know, all the European people around there. Is that something that Google is going to have to contend with more and more, or is it can just advance with its library, Jeremy?
I think it's definitely going to have to take these views into account. I don't think Google wants to take on publishers head on. They see it as primarily a way to advertise and a way to get people to buy books. I don't think that Google really wants to kind of upset the publishers. They see, as we talked about last week, they see a possibility of selling books in different formats. I think that is definitely the way things are going. So, yeah, they'll have to take this into account.
Now, Google's also famed for its maps, isn't it? Now there's a Google Maps for indoors.
Yeah, this is interesting, and it's not Google doing it. It's a young team of Indian developers who've come up with kind of Google Maps for indoors. Their argument being that, well, Google Maps is great, and you got it on your iPhone, so you're able to locate your position using GPS, etc. So now, but what happens when you go inside a building? You don't know your way around the building.
Where are the toilets?
Sorry?
Where are the toilets?
Exactly.
Where are the mooncakes?
Yes.
Reminded of the old Seinfeld sketch about the map at the centre of the mall, of course, being vertical, and then you feel like you have to kind of...
That's right. That is true.
So what guys have come up with is an application. At the moment it's just for San Francisco, but they're hoping to kind of do the big buildings in the whole of the U.S. eventually. They'll take the maps from the mall operator, and then they will put it on an iPhone, make it nice, allow people to annotate it, to add their own comments, and allow companies to advertise themselves and to offer information. But the main idea is to use the iPhone's geolocational capabilities to help people navigate their way through these huge, vast shopping
centers. There's a movie going through my mind now, and it's a pretty scary movie, how you might be trackable even though you're going through the subway, and there's a helicopter hovering around, it's the police that's after you, and you actually haven't done anything wrong. They just think you might have a microchip that somebody's dropped into your bag, and they're trying to escape.
More about Adelaine's psychological state later. I'm just wondering, because all these people are making these apps for the iPhone. Really, in hindsight, or even in pre-sight, it was the best marketing strategy they could have ever thought of.
They didn't think of it. It was a mistake.
It was a mistake. Of course, with all the hackers who were making applications.
It was a mistake. And in fact, what they had to do was they had to re-get ground, because people were starting to put apps out, and Apple said, "Stop it. We don't know anything about it. We haven't formulated it. We don't know. You know, it doesn't work with our system." And they spent the best part of a year putting people on hold while they came up with a policy and a process and a way to make money out of it.
But it's still working as a great...
It's incredible. Last week alone, they approved 1,300 apps. The backlog apparently is incredible.
I'm about to go into a lot of apps because I'm going to buy a new phone today. Ha ha, I might tell you all about it next week. I want to know about this Windows 7 house parties. How do you do a house party via the computer?
Yeah, this is reaching beyond lame, and sadly, and although I am a user of Microsoft products, you know, this really does kind of raise the cringe element to unprecedented level. What Microsoft has done, they want to market their new operating system, Windows 7, which is coming out next month, and so they've hired this company, PR company called House Party, that organizes these, lets people organize house parties built around a product. So if you're a Windows fan, then you can apply to houseparty.com, and you get a free copy of Windows and lots of free advice about how to organize a party to show off the features of Windows 7.
Do you think this is the way Tupperware parties are going?
I was just thinking, it's a Tupperware party.
Give me a lingerie party any day.
Watch houseparty.com online, and it's so horrible that you think it's ironic.
Imagine admitting to your friends.
Taken these videos and bleeped out certain words to make it like more exciting than it really is. But it really is truly horrible. I recommend you watching it.
That's terrific. What was that website again?
Houseparty.com.
Okay, it's in singular, houseparty.com.
Yeah, yeah.
Terrific. Jeremy Wagstaff in Singapore. Your blog is loosewireblog.com. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Pleasure.
Thanks, Jeremy. Take care. Bye now. Jeremy Wagstaff, now that was I'm a bit lost now, once again.
Morris will stay with us.
You're with Radio Australia today. Adelaine Ong, Zulfikara Barney, and Morris Misilowski is here to take us through to the top of the clock. It's our tech tech time. But right now, it's the news headlines time. Matt Conway.
Thanks, Wolf. Yep. Australia's Prime Minister Kevin Rudd says he'll use every path possible between today's G20 summit and the Copenhagen conference in December to achieve a world agreement on cutting carbon emissions. Mr. Rudd made the comments prior to attending a reception for world leaders at the G20 summit in Pittsburgh. He told students of the Carnegie Mellon University that he'll use all paths possible to convince countries of the need to sign a global agreement cutting greenhouse gases. African Union peacekeepers and Somali security forces have killed 7 pirates who were trying to hijack a ship in Somali waters. A Somali government minister says the pirates boarded the Panamanian flagship as it headed into the harbour in Mogadishu. Issue. And in a historic session of the United Nations Security Council, a resolution has been passed aiming at a world free of nuclear weapons. The 15 members of the UN Security Council have declared they want a world without nuclear weapons. US President Barack Obama says the resolution gives the Security Council the authority and responsibility to respond to violations. That's the news for now. More news in half an hour.
Matt, how could I not have tried to switch off your microphone?
It would have been wrong, wouldn't it?
Yeah, my word.
My last one. But I might just quickly say I've had a great time in Radio Australia.
Aww.
When I was told I was going to come and work with one of the more distinguished, well-spoken radio hosts at the ABC, I was very excited. Tragically, Phil Kafkalides took holidays. In all seriousness, though, I have had a really good time in Norby Sally.
Oh, God, you are so predictable, but you are a TV man at heart, aren't you?
There has to be some checks.
Predictable little man.
Whatever I can bring to the table.
Nice one, Matt. Right. It's been
Thank
a pleasure.
You,
Matt. Take care. We'll see you down the hallway. Thank you very much. Matt Conway, fantastic bloke. Thank you very much. Lost my buttons.
Still a couple of weeks to get it right.
That's right.
Always.
Marlene and Maldives.
Just mind me while I fall off my chair. Okay, go on.
No,
Marlene.
Stay on your chair. You'll need to give half the weather. Mm-hmm. Marlene and Maldives, 31 degrees. A small chance of rain today. On Sunday, there's a small chance of thunderstorms. In Dili, 31 degrees and clear all day. Clear tomorrow. Sunday, quite cloudy. Beijing, 28 degrees. Fine today, but then the weekend could see some thunder showers. Singapore, 32 degrees. Chance of thunder showers through to Sunday. Kuala Lumpur, 33 degrees. And fair chance of thunder showers today, about 50% chance of that happening. On the weekend, there is a small chance of rain.
Now, I'm just going to take you to Denpasar to start with. A clear 1 and 29 all the way through. For the fun of it, that was. Back to Phnom Penh, Cambodia. It's going to be a thunder showery weekend for you with temperatures around the 30s as well. Siem Reap, it's thunderstorms also all the way through and 30 degrees. VNTR, a chance of thunderstorms today, and it's on again, off again. Thunderstorms definitely tomorrow and a chance of thunderstorms on Sunday. Temperatures close to the 30s. Jakarta, a chance of miserable weather really all the way through and 30 degrees. Port Moresby, PNG, again, it's sort of a chance of rain, then thunderstorms, and then a chance of thunderstorms. Just be prepared for the worst and a drizzly weekend for you and temperatures around the 30s.
Honiara, 31 degrees. Small chance of rain through to Sunday. Port Vila, clear through the weekend, 26 degrees. Rarotonga, 26 degrees. Chance of thunder showers today and tomorrow. The weekend is a small chance of rain. Niue, top of 26 degrees. Clear today and tomorrow. Saturday, a small chance of rain. Sunday, back to clear. Apia, 30 degrees now. It is clear through to Saturday, but then on Sunday, a small chance of rain.
And in Suva, Fiji, it's a chance of rain all the way through to, in fact, Monday, and mid-20s for you. Nuku'alofa, it's clear-ish, and then becoming rainy on Sunday morning. Temperatures in the mid-20s, and Tarawa is thunderstorms, I'm afraid, all the way through to Saturday, becoming a chance of thunderstorms on 32. And can I just tell you that today the number is 20?
What, Lotto?
No, on Sesame Street.
Thank you. Saipan's weather, by the way, thunder showers quite possible this evening. Apart from that, it should be mostly clear through to the weekend.
Thank you very much. They never went up to 20 when I was young enough to watch the program.
They figured kids nowadays can count.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. So I can't even do it anyway.
So now we know what still plays in your mind.
Thank you, Adelaine. I couldn't hear a word of that. There was some pigeon in my ear hole.
All right. Today's word of the day is propinquity. Now, there is a clear-out winner because we've got one entry.
Uh-huh. Make it easier to judge.
I thought we might have gotten more entries than this. My best go, I was just thinking about it. Maybe someone who sells pink keyboards.
Okay.
Pro pink QWERTY keyboard.
QWERTY? Why, you've got
a... I reckon I could have entered.
Yeah, that's not bad. It's not bad.
But I would have been up. I would have been up against Garth. Garth's entry says, that's what you call a left-leaning comedian because, they are pro-pink and witty.
Pro-pink and witty.
No matter what you think about that,
so
Garth wins because he's got no one contending the prize.
Well, we could always roll
well
it over.
Garth.
Challenge. We could change the contest to make it challenge Garth.
Oh, we can't change the rules
Garth,
halfway through.
I'm sure we'll get a lot of emails from Garth saying, "How could you do that to me?"
No, fair enough. No, we wouldn't do that.
Now we have had a song request, and then after that we are going to Hong Kong with Phil Whelan and Morris Misalowski is staying with us throughout. So we have to stay tuned. No, not that one.
Not that one.
That's what you're saying.
Oh, it is.
What?
But not quite.
Sorry.
I mean, not in that sort of rude way of making an announcement. This is a special dedication, and it is quite with a sort of a bittersweet thing in the.
Sorry.
On the tongue, I guess. My best mate in Melbourne has just moved to Egypt to teach English. While it's all very noble, I am cut. I want to see her when I visit. Please play Goodbye from Sneaky Sound System. This is from Lisa.
My apologies.
Lisa in Papua New Guinea.
Around. Yeah, baby, this is your town. Come a little closer when I'm on the mic. Come a little closer when I need you in sight. Shake it up, baby, like you own the club. Shake it up, baby, like you need the love. Now, you got the rhythm down. I'll pass you the crown. You put it on cause you're number one. Yeah, it's your number one. Rising. It's summertime vibing, you, me. Yes, please, right now. It's what I need, free. When I saw you dancing, my beat, you're feeling. All get down with the DJ, happy days. Don't stop it, close your eyes, and I promise I'll be watching. Try to guess which part I'm touching. Now's your imagination rocking. Feel the breeze of my breath, you're sucking, please. Tell me what you need. I'll bring it up to speed. The last thing I want is to get it wrong.
Tragic song when you think about it, even though it's really upbeat. That was the dedication from Lisa to her best mate who has just moved to Egypt. She's not going to be able to see her anytime soon, but it will be very special, I'm sure, when she does. Yeah, that is true. You're going to tell us all about it, Morris. But right now we also have someone else who is also very special. That's Phil Whelan over in RTHK Hong Kong. How are you?
Good. Very spatial, actually.
Hey, Phil.
Good day, guys.
Good day.
How are you going? Yeah.
How's the Kafka Loodless studio?
Well, I've got fingers that just do whatever they like, so, I'm firing off stuff, uncontrollably.
Yep.
Adelaine's doing fine, though.
I don't have to push any buttons.
I don't even have any control over my tongue.
And I'm just sitting back enjoying the whole thing.
Is it sort of like, ooh, what does this do? Boing.
It is a bit,
the ejector seat,
Yeah.
Don't encourage you.
This button here.
No.
It's the only one I haven't pressed yet.
That's right, yeah. That's pretty much the style here, yeah.
What's going on? There's, as always, no news in Hong Kong except we've got the UK's best-selling kids show live on stage. That's about it this week.
Wow. What is that?
The tweenies.
Oh, the tweenies.
There's a war amongst all these guys, actually. Now, who are the fellas from Australia
Wiggles.
That are really... The Wiggles.
The ones
Wiggles.
With the funny fingers.
Yep.
And they're
And they're up against a bunch of other guys from this country and that country. It's the real industry. Entertaining three-year-olds.
And they make a squillion out of it.
Oh, yeah. No kidding. I think we're in the wrong game.
Oh, we are.
All you have to do is jump around and go a few times. And you're put an orange boiler suit on. Well, maybe not these days, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, but the parents can do that.
Yeah, exactly. So how are you doing? What's going on?
Yeah, no, you've just given me... Oh, the Wiggles are on the TV!
Oh, they are.
I know, I'm giving away all of our trade secrets here. We do have serious programs up on the TV for the bulk of the day, and then it just sort of, you know, aliens come in and change the channel. We just had Sesame Street up there. The Wiggles have come up flashing their fingers at us.
The Wiggles are dominating the world now. I mean, when Australia exports something, boy, does it.
And it's exported the Wiggles, because in fact, I think there are like 10 different versions of the Wiggles around the world.
Yeah, they export, the Australians export the Wiggles, uranium, coal, you know.
Carly Minogue.
Yeah, great. All positive things, all positive things for the world.
Out of all the exports, whilst we're on this topic, which is the one you're most embarrassed about? I mean, pop music-wise, probably. They're all pretty good, that's the thing. I hate to say it. But
what, pop music exports out of Australia?
Yes.
Oh, well, embarrassed about. I mean, I can't really talk because I'm not Australian. So I mean, you know, people like Kylie Minogue. She was all UK produced, so there was nothing there that was Australian about.
Neighbours, remember that?
Oh yeah. But she only did one song on that, and that was "Merry Christmas" or something. They did a sort of Neighbours cast song, and that's how her voice was discovered. Jason Donovan was also
Donna Jason.
Oh, Peter Andre, but he's also UK produced. In excess.
So it's not our fault.
No.
It's all
theirs. You've got guys like Mossy. He's an Australian.
Mossy.
John Stevens is a Kiwi.
Ian Moss.
Oh.
John Stevens Mossy. Is a Kiwi. Jimmy Barnes is a jock.
I'll tell him you said hello.
But they all love Australia, I guess. That's why. They all go and live there.
No, that's true. I know. Oh, and the Bee Gees lived down the road from, or the drummer did, down the road from a friend of mine in Canberra.
Okay.
Just an interesting little tidbit I thought I'd throw in there.
No, it's just that Australia, I've heard everybody likes to talk about the tall poppy syndrome and knockers and all that, but when push comes to shove, Australians are actually very modest, I think.
Yeah, I think so too, especially compared to the Yanks.
I have no comment on this.
Although we can talk about me for another hour or so if you want.
No, but have I ever told you about the time when I shared a seat with Cliff Richard on a plane?
No.
Yeah.
Did he move?
I think you're just about to.
I'm not going to tell you any more than that. I was very small.
Were you both going on a summer holiday at the time?
We were, I think, coming back from a summer holiday. You know, it was that sort of a situation.
Right, what have we got on the list this morning?
Well, everyone's got an opinion about something, and I think right now we're through an experimenting stage of how you can do that online with this Google Side Wiki thing that we were just talking about.
We were. The Side Wiki allows people to annotate it. Basically, lets you go to any website. It's just come up in this week.
So it's like sticky notes, is it?
It's a new Google feature that was released literally yesterday. You need to download it, so you have to opt in, and then what it allows you to do is to go to any website. So you do a Google search, and you find out about it, and then you can leave notes on the side about the site, about what you enjoyed.
Any website.
Any website at all.
And it will stick.
And it will stick.
Someone on the other side
What's
of the globe
will
be able to log...
Because you can.
Fair enough.
The point of it is meant to be part of this social networking revolution where the internet is democratised and people can do what they want and leave comment and tell other people their thoughts.
Does this mean that people can go on to Phil Whelan's Facebook and tell him exactly what he thinks?
But it would only be nice things. I couldn't imagine anything else.
Of course not, but in theory.
It could. Not the Facebook site so much, but if he had a website, absolutely. But in Facebook, they could leave comments on if they were enjoying it.
I mean, what's the point of that? Who cares, you know?
Yeah.
Tesla invented electricity, and somebody writes, I told you it wouldn't take on. I mean, who cares what people
say? Yeah, look, in this broader context, I would agree. But for things like TripAdvisor, which uses the same kind of sourcing, in other words, crowdsourcing, as it's called, TripAdvisor is one of those wonderful sites, .com.
It's a travel site.
It's a travel site, and it allows you to go into a country that you haven't been to before and to find accommodation to find out what to do. I mean, I'm going into Malaysia in November, and I picked my accommodation and some of the stuff I want to do at a TripAdvisor. I literally took the coward's way out, saw how many people loved the hotel, and it far outweighed everybody else, and I booked into it. I mean, it was a much easier way to do it. So for some of this stuff, I think it has purpose. For this Google, I think it was a matter of them jumping in because it had to be done. But as we said earlier, you know, wait for it for a year or two and it will become something else and it will become mainstream.
Are we going to evolve in a weird way? There was some old footage on TV yesterday that some blokes in the 50s found a coelacanth, which is an horrible deep-sea dinosaur fishy thing.
Wow.
And it had... Oh, I am getting somewhere with this. It had arms where its flippers and stuff would be, and they reckon that's the missing link. I'm wondering if in X squillion years' time, because of our use of the internet and our laziness, inherent laziness now, of doing anything, we're going to sort of develop these stumps for arms, or the right arm is going to be longer or whatever.
Yeah, like a tortoise shell on our backsides.
Well, perhaps.
Sort of thing.
But you know,
yes.
You know our thumbs.
The big old callus.
Yeah. Our thumbs. You know, most of us have two of them. In fact, over the last 20 years or so, anthropologists have found that thumbs are now becoming useful again. Because for the last couple of hundred years, we had no use. We used to hang onto branches and things with them, you know, like the monkeys did. All of a sudden now with SMSing, I am getting somewhere with this
monkeys.
Also. With SMSing, all of a sudden, the kids are actually using their thumbs again to text and
that
to type.
That means you won't lose them. That's good news.
Well, it means they won't fall off. They actually have a purpose now. except for sucking on them.
You used the wrong consonant there to start with.
That was good.
That was good. But oh, it only goes uphill from here.
Thumbs have been traditionally the nails that kids bite because they think nobody can see them. Well, now they can because they use them all the time.
Oh, well, this is true.
Where'd you get that from? That's interesting.
I don't know. Let's just make it up.
And here we were all believing it.
Yeah.
So while we talk about the internet doing really strange things, Picasa. Picasa, again, is one of those Google applications. Picasa is an online photo album, and it's free again. It allows you to put all your photos into one place and let you look through them in a whole lot of sexy ways.
Yawn.
Oh, but listen, this is the interesting thing, I think.
What does it do? Does it make you a cup of tea or something?
No, only coffee.
It
doesn't like tea at all.
Come on, I'm sorry. Carry on.
No, don't be sorry. What it does is it does face recognition now. When you put a photo up, it actually searches on the internet because we all put photos up for Facebooks and LinkedIn.
That is so scary.
And it finds people in there and it says, you are Morris or you are Phil. It recognises you. Isn't that terrific? Thanks. Moving on.
Doesn't Apple do that already?
Apple does that. In fact, a lot of things do now, but we're seeing more and more applications now, and this goes back to that scary world.
I'm comfortable with it being, you know, in your own home where you've got a little bit of control. You just name one of your friends, your family, etc., and it's supposed to be an easy way for you to trace other photos of the same person, in case you wanted to put an album together.
Mm.
But with this way, it's like all your worst... Any one of your friends could have taken a really bad photo of you and stuck it on the internet saying, ha-ha, you know, or you could have been the third person there. You're not supposed to be there, but you're there anyway, you know.
Yeah, it would only know that, if you were tagged in the photo. So first of all, there has to be a name attached to it.
That's true.
And the places it goes to are normally the Facebooks, the LinkedIns, and the places where you've uploaded the photo first. They're the ones it searches.
When applications first started, they were useful. Wikipedia, really useful. Facebook can be useful. But now it's almost like we're in a holding pattern and they're putting these daft applications on just because they can.
Yeah. Well, and that's a good reason. Well, we'll talk about daft applications just because they can.
Well, can I just jump in? You know, having spent hours and hours and hours wasting my life in front of a computer screen, not just here at work, of course, but I do that as well at work. But, you know, I think that, you know, if you don't integrate everything through your technology, through your computer, through your phone these days, there's almost no point in doing it. But what that means is that you're not living your life anymore, because all you're doing is organizing the files and making sure that you've got an overview of everything. You're not living life. You're just computerizing what once was your life.
I beg to differ. I think, in fact, our life's getting easier because now we have centralized programs that allow you to dump everything into it. I was only looking at a beta test of one this morning where you can put all of your emails, all of your Facebook, all of your LinkedIn, all of your Twitter, you know, everything.
And anybody with half an IQ can, you know, get in there and find out everything.
No. I mean, it's like anything else that's passworded. I mean, it wouldn't be anywhere with half an IQ, maybe three quarters. But what it's doing, I think, is the exact opposite. It's actually making life much easier because we don't have to go to 50 places to find all this information. Just go to one centralised spot.
What's
how you use the technology.
Yeah. What's happening inside of our heads where there's so much stuff we don't need to keep in there anymore?
Mm.
We take it out and we slap it on some hard drive somewhere.
Yeah.
There's a big space left.
Yeah.
And what are we doing with that?
Well, the big example is phone numbers. How many of us remember phone numbers anymore? I've totally given that up.
No, I don't. Yes. All the numbers on my phone have names attached to them, and I just scroll through the names.
Mine have photos. Every time I put somebody in, I get it to search for a photo. And
you're
I go
so advanced.
Mine has little notes next to the names saying, can't call them again because you annoyed them on that date.
And
can't call
what?
Them because you didn't give them a Christmas present. They owe you money. Actually, I'll call them.
But you're right.
So what does it? They don't answer exactly because they've got a message next to my name saying, don't answer his phone.
But have we talked in this past 30 seconds with all this list of applications about making a phone call? Not really.
No.
No. No, that's so yesterday.
Yeah, who wants to make phone calls?
But I think, Phil, you brought
true,
up a really
though.
Good point.
It's true.
It's getting above a lot of people's heads how to manage the technology in their lives, and maybe next week, Maurice, you can come in with a couple of tips on how to integrate stuff.
Oh, absolutely.
It's quite
overwhelming.
Well, that's one word.
Complicated.
Yes, you just want to get out of the house. I don't want to deal with it. How it all starts integrating. Some people have, a
true.
Palm, which doesn't talk to my computer, which doesn't talk to necessarily my phone, and you're trying to link things up, but you've got several copies of the same information and a bit varying information as well all over the place.
Yep.
How do you make it work for you?
What a wonderful topic. We will talk about that next week.
Give up.
No, don't. Just tame the whole thing. I promise you, I'll bring them in next week. There are some really good sites you can use to centralise all of this and take back some of your life.
Tell me about Jing.
Tell you about Jing. Thank you for asking. Jing.
What's Jing?
Spelled J-I-N-G. Jing is one of these little applications that I love and use a lot. I've been using for quite a while. Now, if you're looking for it online, it's jingproject.com. Jingproject.com. What it allows you to do is to take a picture of whatever's on your screen. You know, sometimes you want to take a picture of what's on your screen because you might want to use it for a presentation or maybe send it off to somebody.
Yeah, but you could already do that.
You can do that.
Screenshot.
But it's not Jing is actually much easier. It's a freebie, first of all, because I love freebies. So you download it onto your screen. It comes up as a little sun, and the sun sits at the top of your screen, which I love. Yes, I know. I need therapy. And when you click on this, it allows you to choose a box. It can draw out a box, and the box is whatever you want the image to be, and it takes a picture of it and puts it on your desktop, and you can then send it off to anybody else or use it in what you want.
So you know,
it also takes video the same way.
Oh, really?
So if you want to take one of those, and I'll show you another one next week then, if you want to take video from YouTube, which you're allowed to, you can do it through Jing Project. Another one on that YouTube one is called Vixy, VIXY.net, all free, all above board, totally kosher, as they say. Vixy.net allows you to take those YouTube videos and save them onto your desktop.
Is there any problem with actually downloading YouTube videos?
No, you're allowed to through these programs.
Some of it is copyrighted.
Some of it's copyrighted, in which case it shouldn't be up there. It's more about the usage of it.
Yeah.
So the usage of it becomes the issue rather than downloading of it, because for personal use, the fact that it's on YouTube means it's okay. But
it's
what you do with it afterwards.
No,
I know there are some issues around that, but the onus is more on the other side.
It's a bit grey, isn't it?
It's more than grey. It's really murky.
I just wondered if you're allowed to, because there's a nice little program called YouTube Downloader, dead easy, and it converts it to video files and you can stick it on your hard drive.
Absolutely. So
while we're at it, I use Cosmopod.
Cosmopod? How cosmopolitan of you.
Oh, absolutely. You know, but I paid for it, so I feel like a bit of a mug.
Well, you shouldn't.
You should have waited for Maurice.
Give me a call and I'll show you a way around it. There's always a freebie that works around it.
This is quite interesting. There's a fabric out there that now fights germs, finds explosives, and goes to the market for you. Is that right?
Well, it doesn't go to the market for you.
All right. But it does go to the market.
It does do.
For somebody.
It will go to market. It will go to market eventually. These are two Cornell researchers, again, talked about in the last week. They've come up with a new way to spray something onto existing materials. It's nanoparticles that they're spraying onto an existing material. So, for instance, the Army in America is looking at this. And with this spray that they put onto the uniforms they're currently wearing, they can put all sorts of things. In other words, they can detect chemicals. So the suit will will actually light up, or it will send a message back to some kind of device that you're using. It's just by the time it lights up, you might be too close and it might be too late, but it could do that. So this then becomes a way to read your environment. They're talking about using it in hospitals, for instance, on bed sheets, so that the bed sheet itself actually becomes a way of testing the person that's on it. Now, it can take their blood pressure or their heat or something and send messages back. I mean, there are some beds that do that. But
you see, and I thought we were running out of reasons to sack nurses or at least pay them less. This is brilliant.
Isn't it?
You no longer need nursing staff.
Oh, of course you do. Somebody has to run in and look after the patient after this.
That's right, yeah.
But they're also talking about using it for sutures, and they're talking about using it for medical reasons as well. So the suture, when they put it in, would actually be able to detect if the body is rejecting it or not and be able to send messages back. So nanotechnology is really what it's all about, but it's an interesting foray down that road of where we might be.
That's amazing, isn't it?
Oh, amazing. Oh, stick around, there's more.
Phil, I can tell you're well tickled by that. Have you had any mooncakes in the last week?
Yeah.
Oh, come on.
Let's just say it's an acquired taste.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Oh, no, you must be talking about the yolk ones, right?
Yeah.
How about the red bean ones?
Pass. Same.
Right, next topic.
If you've tried one of the traditional ones, even if it was strawberries and cream, if it looked like it, you'd be like, oh, forget about it.
No, I've tried them. I've tried them. They're great.
Egg cuts
enjoy.
The tart.
Enjoy. Cuts
the tart. Enjoy.
Yeah, exactly.
See, we could have been annotating about this.
We could have, and then nobody could have heard it. So
right.
there's some homework for the week, I think.
Google's side? Wikiside. Is that what it's called?
Google, no, it's a side wiki.
Side wiki is the Google one.
Side wiki. Yeah.
Get it right.
Yeah, there's a quiz after this. So this is some homework for the week. This, again, we seem to be talking quite a bit about Google, but this is a project they do every year. It's called Project 10 to the 100.com. So project number 10 to number 100.com.
Which is a go-go.
Okay.
Which is why Google is called Google, because they misspelled.
Very good.
Whatever.
No, you're absolutely right. Very good.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I think I need a coffee now, actually.
You do. You've been with us for too long, I think. Getting back home. So what this is, it's an annual project where they ask people to come up with the next brilliant idea. I mean, anything at all. Just email it in. Keep it nice. Keep it fresh. Anything at all. Send us your brilliant ideas. This year, they had 150,000 responses to those ideas, and they've put them into 10 categories, and the listeners, the readers, whatever we want to call ourselves, can vote on them. So if you go to the site, you will see some stellar ideas of how people think the future might be and what projects, what ideas and what things should be done, and then vote on them. And the voting will be finished in 2 weeks. And
great.
Perhaps we'll talk about who wins then.
And the site is once again?
It's called Project 10, the number 10, to the 100.com.
Nice and easy.
Nice and easy.
Thanks very much, guys.
Okay.
Have a great weekend. Thank you very much, Phil. Cheers. That was Mr. Phil Whelan, who was obviously desperate for a coffee.
And desperate to get out, and desperate to not talk to us anymore.
Absolutely.
But
well,
I'm afraid he's going to have to go through the whole punishing regime with us again next week because his boss tells him to. But I'm just wanting to know that idea of the winner. Does their idea get made into something?
Google then takes it on. It doesn't necessarily get made, but it does get put onto their back burner. And if the idea is strong enough and good enough, certainly they'll put some money and effort into it.
Fabulous. Maurice Misolowski, business futurist, blog and website, moriseyoureyeonthefuture.com.
Or businessfuturist.com is the easiest way to get it. Businessfuturist.com. Have a great weekend, everybody.
We'll do it all again next week.
Thank you very much, Maurice.